Well, good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Daniel, that song of the month, the third verse stood out to me in light of what I have to share. It says, "The Bible, too, he sends us, that tells how Jesus came, whose word can save and cleanse us from guilt and sin and shame." And, you know, how much God must love us to send us his word, that we know how to live in this life. Let's start with a word of prayer. Thank you, God, for your love to us. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for your word that tells us how we are to live, that we can please you. Let's bless this service. Would your spirit be among us? We bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalms 119:97 says, "O how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day." Do you love the law of the Lord? Do you love the Bible? Now, I'd like to ask a question and see a raise of hands. How many of you here have your own personal Bible? Quite a few. I did a quick count yesterday. And I think between my wife and I, we have 7 Bibles. So I guess if you don't have a Bible, you can come talk to us. Maybe we can spare one. I wish that was an indication of how much we love the Word of God, how important it is to us. I'm not sure if that is, though. Do we realize how blessed we are to have the Bible? You know, there are many in this world that do not have a Bible. They've never heard of God. And many do not even have the Bible in their own language. A couple of months ago, I had seen a news article that stood out to me. I'd just like to read it here. It says, "A 2-year-old was sentenced to life in prison after officials found a Bible in the toddler's parents' possessions. As the totalitarian regime continued to execute and torture religious worshipers. As many as 70,000 Christians are imprisoned in North Korea, according to a new International Religious Freedom Report by the U.S. State Department. The findings underscored the brutal punitive measures routinely doled out by Supreme Leader Kim Jong-un. People caught with a copy of the Bible in North Korea face the death penalty, while their family members, including children, are sentenced to life in prison. The report highlighted the 2009 imprisonment of a family based on their religious practices and parents' possession of a Bible. The entire family, including a 2-year-old infant, were sentenced to life in prison camps." So, I think reading that made me realize how blessed we are to be able to have the Bible, and we're not facing the threat of death or life in prison. And I guess it was a challenge to me. Would I be willing to risk my life just to have the Word of God? Okay, I'd like to turn to Psalms chapter 1. You can turn there with me. Psalms chapter 1 contrasts the godly and the ungodly man. And I like to read the chapter, the psalm, and just then we'll go over it and pull some thoughts out of it. Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." So, In verse 1, we see the godly man avoids bad influence. You know, the friends we have, the people we rub shoulders with, have an effect on us. And last Sunday we heard from Samuel about influence. And we heard of God's influence on our lives. And if we look at verse 2, we see that this man makes God his influence, in his number one influence in his life. It says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates in it day and night. What better influence could we have in our life than the Bible? Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Convert means to change from one form or function to another, to transform. Are we allowing the word of the Lord, the Bible, to transform our lives? Isaiah 64, verse 8, says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art the potter, and we are the work of thy hands." God is the potter. We are the clay. God is working, wants to work in our lives, to mold us and shape us into his image. Are we allowing God to shape us into the man or the woman he wants us to be? The word of God has power. It has the power to change lives and to make us into a better person. Are we allowing God to do his work in our life? Okay, so we see in verse 2 that this man, the godly man, he delights in the law of the Lord. And he meditates day and night. So I picture a man that he wakes up in the morning, and the first thing one of the very first things he does is he reads his Bible. And he's excited to spend time alone with God. This isn't just a routine that he does because he knows he really should read the Bible, and he doesn't really get anything out of it. But he's excited. This is his favorite part of the day, to spend time alone with God. And he's inspired by what he read, and he meditates on it throughout the day. And this man, when you meet up with him throughout the day, he always has a verse or a scripture that's inspiring and encouraging for us. And yeah, we like those people. They're inspiring to us, and they can encourage us in our walk with God. Okay, so looking back in verse 1, we see that the godly man does not take the counsel of the ungodly. He's careful where he gets his counsel from. So where do we go for our counsel? For the answers to questions we have, for direction in life? You know, do we go to the ungodly? Or to the world? You know, Google has an answer for most any question. You know, there are podcasts or YouTube on most any subject or topic. But we need to be careful. You know, subjects such as like theology and moral issues, maybe it's child training. You know, the world is getting it wrong. You know, we need to go to the Word of God. And that's what the man in Psalms 1 does. He goes to the Bible for his answers. The Bible has all the answers to life's questions and problems. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And so if the Bible and what the world is saying contradicts, we can be sure that the word of God is truth. And that's what we should be following. Okay, verse 3 likens this godly man to a tree planted by the rivers of water. And the water is likened to the word of God. And the godly man, he gets his nourishment from the word of God. The tree that's planted by the water always has plenty of water. It doesn't have to depend on the rain, and there's times where it doesn't rain for a while and it gets dry, but there's always plenty of water. And so the godly man that's planted by the rivers of water or close to the Bible, you know, that man regularly reads his Bible, and he is at church faithfully, and he soaks up the message. And we see this tree bears fruit. And if you're like me, it's nice. I like to have fruit trees around. And I have a pear tree out behind my barn. And right now it's loaded with pears. And so the last couple of weeks, every time I go by the tree, I pick a pear or two. And it's sweet and it's refreshing on a hot day. And I'm sure, James, you know what it's like to have fruit trees. And anyhow, the godly man, he bears fruit. So this man, he's joyful, he's loving and kind, he's gentle and long-suffering. And I think we all like to be around men like that. So we see here, life goes good for this man because he is living his life according to the principles of the Bible as God designed. And that is the way it goes. If we live according to God's design for our lives, life goes well for us because we have the blessing of the Lord on our lives. So now in verse 4, we look at the ungodly man. And so this man does not receive nourishment from the Word of God. And he dries up and dies. He dies spiritually, is when we're not in the Word of God, we die. Spiritually, but also I think it can show up in the physical. You know, first of all, the smile disappears from the face, and depression and discouragement and guilt can have an impact on a person's body. It's not healthy. And then we think of drugs, alcohol, and smoking that can lead to untimely death even. The wind here, as we see, I'd like to liken that to Satan. And when Satan has control of a person's life, they become like the chaff. And the chaff is helpless. And the wind just blows it wherever it wants to. And that's the way it is when Satan has control of our lives. We are totally out of control. There's a saying, and I'm not sure if I have it quite right, but sin will take you further than you want it to go, cost you more than you want it to pay, and keep you longer than you want it to stay. I'm sure we all know that saying, but that gives the idea that when we allow sin, we allow Satan to have control of our lives, we end up in a place we didn't really want to be. And that is just like the chaff that gets blown around. We lose control of our lives, and we end up in a bad place in life. But praise the Lord, Jesus has the power to free from the bonds of sin and Satan. So if we find ourselves in that place, in the bonds of sin, Satan's in control of our lives, we can cry out to Jesus. He will help us. He will free us. Okay. Now, yeah, just a couple thoughts. In verse 6, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. And that can be a comfort to us. The Lord is watching out for us. He knows our way. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. He's leading us. And when God is leading us, we will never go astray. He's there to protect us and care for us. Okay, now I'd like to read some verses in Psalm 19. Just, there are verses, picked out a few verses that talk about the word of the Lord. I'm going to read them over fairly quick. Psalms 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Verse 24. Thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. Verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. 127. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. 28. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Verse 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. And verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And so, some things we see in these verses about the Word of God. The Word of God cleanses us if we take heed to it. It gives direction. It keeps us from sinning if we hide it in our hearts. It gives us counsel. It's sweeter than honey. It gives light to our path. The commandments of the Lord are right. The law of the Lord, it's wonderful. It gives understanding to the simple. And those that love it have great peace, and nothing shall offend them. Okay, I'd like to turn to 1 Peter 1, a couple of verses there. First Peter 1, verses 22-25. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto an unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The thought I'd like to pull out here is the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And man has tried to destroy the Bible. They've tried to destroy Christianity. But they've never succeeded. Men twist the scriptures. They change the wording. They pull words out of the Bible. They try to make it say what they want. What they want to hear. They take away and they add to it. But God's word will remain pure and true as long as the world stands. And we can take comfort in that. That we don't have to worry that the Word of God is not actually God's will for our lives. God and His Word does not change. We live in a world that is constantly changing. Things change, people change, but God does not. And His Word does not change. Okay, in closing, I'd like to read a few verses in Psalm 19 yet. Verses 7 through 11. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. So in studying this, I've been challenged to love the Word of God more, and to that it'd be more precious to me. And I've been challenged to read the Word of God more and hide it in my heart. And I hope that this morning that this can also be an encouragement to you, that we would treasure the Word of God to be precious to us. May God bless.